Let's now turn to our Bibles. We go to the book of Romans again, chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse 24. We'll read to verse 5 of chapter 15. Acts 14, 24 to verse 5 of chapter 15. Let me read. I'm reading from the ESV. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all God had done with them and that he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about the question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they had come to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and order them to keep the law of Moses." Let's pray. Lord, we worship you for who you are and for what you have done. Thank you that you have come to a time when we are going to hear your word. Oh, Father, speak to us. Speak to your people. Use me just as a vessel to speak to your people, oh Lord. Let your word go forth with power and authority, and help us not only be hearers, but to be doers of your word. We thank you and we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, we are still continuing with our series, the book of Acts. Yeah, today I've given a sermon titled "False Gospel Preaching in the Midst of Faithful Gospel Preaching." Last Sunday we considered how Paul suffered for the sake of Christ's name. We saw that even in the midst of the persecution, the apostles would not shrink back from the mission which they were on. We ended by seeing how Paul and Barnabas went back to the places where they preached the gospel to strengthen the brethren and to even appoint elders to continue the work of discipling those converts. Today we are continuing to consider their return journey back to the church of Antioch, from where they had sent them to the mission. We'll also see the issue which arose after they had returned to this church in Antioch. That's why we see in verse 24 that they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. We saw in verse 21 that they moved from Derbe and returned to Lystra, to Iconia, and then to Antioch. And that Antioch is what the Antioch we saw, which was located in this place called Pisidia. Yes, that's why we see here that They passed through Pisidia to Pamphylia. And Pamphylia was a province in which the town of Periga was located. And they had passed through these places on their journey, the missionary journey. So probably on their return journey, they continued doing what they were doing in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Where they were encouraging the converts and also appointing the elders to disciple them. So as we saw last Sunday, this work which they were doing was very important, the work of follow-up. Yes, as we saw, follow-up is very important because it helps those the people who have preached the gospel to go on with the work of discipleship and even continue preaching to those who are not converted. Then in verse 25 we see that, and when they had spoken the word in Periga, they went down to Attalia. Yes, as I say, this is now their return journey. And they pass again through the town of Periga. In this town, it is where Mark left Paul and Barnabas and returned to Jerusalem. Yes, and we see that they spoke the word in Periga. It seems that the first time when they were passing through, they may have passed through and not preached the gospel. It seems that first time they did not get an opportunity to preach the gospel to the inhabitants. So it is possible that on their return journey, they now get an opportunity to preach the gospel to the inhabitants of that city. Yeah, these faithful disciples of Jesus Christ never ignore the opportunities which were available to them to preach the gospel. Yes, that's why we see here that after they had spoken the words in Periga, this speaking the words again means preaching the gospel. Yeah, may we copy the example that whenever we get an opportunity to preach the gospel, that will not shrink from it. You and I, many times we get opportunities to preach the gospel, but we ignore them. May we not ignore such opportunities. May we preach the gospel while trusting that God will save the hearers. So finally, they purpose to return back to Antioch in Syria. That's why they go down to Attalia. Because Attalia was a city in the south coast of Asia Minor. It was a port located at the coast of this city, so of that region of Pamphylia. That's why we see that from there they sail to Antioch. Yes, now this is the Antioch in Syria where they had sent them from. That's why we read that where they had been commended to the grace of God to the work that they had fulfilled. So this must have been a long journey because they sailed on the sea all the way from Attalia to Antioch. We can't tell how many months they spent on the sea. But finally they reached Antioch. And they desired to give a report of the work which they had been doing, or which God has been doing among them. The church at Antioch, after commending them to the grace of God, must have continued praying for their work. That's why it was important for them to go and give a report or give an account of the work which God had done among them. Yeah, that's why even you see today it is important for missionaries to send back reports to their sending church. To show the progress and to show how they have been faithfully laboring. Sadly, today so many so-called missionaries do not go and do the work which they have been sent to do. And for such people, it is even difficult to send reports. Or if they send, then they'll be lying because they will not be doing the work faithfully. But these were faithful disciples or apostles of Christ who were doing the work faithfully. And that's why it was important for them to go back and report to the church which sent them. That's why we see further in verse 27. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Yes, probably they gathered the whole church to their usual meeting place and started narrating to them how what God had done in their midst. Yeah, interesting. We see that they report to them what all that God had done, not what they had done. Yes, because it was not their work. It was God using them as instruments to do this work. So there was no such thing as boasting. It was all about giving God the glory. Because it is always God using his people as instruments to do the work. And this is always a very great privilege to us human beings. Because if God desired, he would be doing this work of converting these people without our help. Because he's able, nothing is too hard for him. But for him to involve human beings like us, it is a great privilege on our behalf, on our side. May we always use this privilege to go out and preach the word to the unsaved, praying that God will save them. And if they get saved, we should be careful to give all the glory to God because he's the one who will be saving them. Yes, notice that they describe the work as God opening a door of faith to the Gentiles. Yes, this shows how the New Testament is careful all the time to show that salvation is of the Lord. It is the work of God and not of man. It is so contrary to what we hear from today's evangelists, who believe that it is man who chooses to believe and not without the help of God initially. Yes, today's evangelists would have said the Gentiles opened their hearts and decided for Christ. And they will be careful to attach numbers so that they post about how many people came and were saved. But we should be always careful to give glory to God, because He's the one who saves. He's the one who opened the door of faith to the Gentiles to hear Him, to hear the gospel. So we see further that, and they remained no little time with the disciples. Yes, we are not told how long they stayed with the disciples at Antioch. Some scholars say maybe they stayed there for about 5 years. But whatever length of time they remained there, they remained there long enough to witness this issue which arose. Which we see in verse 1 of chapter 15, where we read that, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" Antioch was located in the north of Judea. And Judea is the land of the Jews, where the city of Jerusalem was located. So these men who had professed faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ traveled such a long distance from Judea to Antioch with the aim of spreading this false gospel, which we see here, which they were teaching that salvation is by faith plus works, as we are going to see. It's the works of obedience to the law of Moses, especially the ceremonial law. But they had heard of the conversion of the Gentiles. And so, being zealous of the law and with ignorance, they wanted to go and teach this false teaching to these Gentiles. The theologians call these people the Judaizers, because according to their view, salvation was for the Jews only. And so, in order, their teaching was that in order for one to become truly a Christian, he must first become a Jew. And that was through circumcision. Circumcision had been appointed by God as a special badge for His chosen people. It had been established as a national ordinance. When you read, for example, Genesis chapter 17, verse 10 to 11, It was a sign of the covenant which God had made with Abraham. And so later it became a distinct mark for the Jews. And it was also added as one of the ceremonial laws when Moses gave them later. And the Jews prided themselves so much in this ordinance and considered others who were not circumcised to be unclean and ungodly. So, but at the heart of this teaching of these Judaizers was a distortion of the true gospel, which taught that salvation is by faith and faith alone. These men were teaching that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ plus circumcision. And plus obedience of the law of Moses, as we shall see down there in verse 5. Paul called this teaching another gospel when he came to speak about it in the epistle to the Galatians. Of course, another gospel, as he went ahead to say, which is no gospel, which is not true at all, which is a false gospel. Because it shows that although this teaching was refuted in the Council of Jerusalem, and we shall sit down there, although it was refuted in the Council of Jerusalem, it continued to be propagated even in other churches around the Gentile world. It's as Peter says, this was a yoke of bondage because no one was able to obey the law perfectly. It had already been obeyed by Christ. And what was only required of the Gentiles also was to believe in Jesus Christ alone. Paul further argued in Galatians that accepting to be circumcised as a believer would mean obligating oneself to keep the whole law. Yes, that was Paul arguing in Galatians, that if you accept to be circumcised, then you are obligating yourself to obey the whole law, which was not possible. But in our day, we see that Roman Catholicism is the one which mostly teaches that salvation is by faith plus works. Yes, even the cults like the Seventh-day Adventists, you find them teaching something like that, that you have to believe and then obey the law so that you can be truly saved. Although this is not a teaching among us, but we need to be careful because there is a temptation even among us who are reformed. Yes, it is possible to think that true salvation is formed among the reformed only. Yes, if you teach that, you'll be teaching a false gospel also. You'll also be teaching the salvation of faith plus what? Because to be reformed is something very good, very commendable. Yes, and we should be telling those who are truly Christians, convincing them that they should be reformed. But we should not go out to preach to people that join our church to be truly saved. Join our church so that you be truly Christian. If you preach that, you'll be preaching a false gospel. Yes, among the Pentecostals, among the other faith, among other denominations, are people who are truly saved also. Yes, although being reformed enables one to understand the Bible better and to honor God more. But it is not that only the reformed are those who are truly saved. So in verse 2, we see, verse 2 of chapter 15, we see this. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and to the elders about the question. Yes, so we see that the reaction of Paul and Barnabas towards these false teachers was that of a strong disagreement. Because this is what this word dissension means. It means a strong disagreement. But we see that they also debated with them. Yeah, this word used for debate means mutual questioning or discussion. So it shows that before they disagreed with them, they tried to try and convince them to accept the truth, to leave alone their false teachings. But at the end, it seems they failed to agree with Paul and Barnabas, and that's why Paul and Barnabas express a strong disagreement to their teachings. And even as today, as we go along preaching the gospel, you will encounter so many false teachers. Yes, and thirdly, they think that what they are teaching is the truth. The commonest form of such false teaching today is this teaching which goes on, and they teach that to be saved, you only need to repeat a prayer after someone. Yeah, it is good to find time and discuss with such people, take them through scriptures and try to convince them that that is not the truth. But sadly, many times such people are very hard to convince. And in such a case, the only thing you have to do is to pray for them, to disagree with them, but go on praying that the grace of God will help them, if they are truly saved, to understand the true gospel. So we see that even after Barnabas and Paul trying to convince them, they failed. And that's why we see that there was need for them and other people to go to Jerusalem to ask the elders and the apostles about this. Yeah, this is what Matthew Henry says about this situation. He says, Paul and Barnabas as faithful servants of Christ would not see his truth betrayed. Mm-hmm. They knew that Christ came to free us from the yoke of the ceremonial law. And to take down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. And unite both in himself. Therefore, they could not bear hearing of circumcising the Gentile converts. When their only instructions were to baptize them. So there was a need to go to Jerusalem to ask the apostles and the elders what their view about this teaching. Probably these men, since they came from Judea, they may have claimed that this is what even the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem believe. Or the church at Antioch may have thought that this was the position of the elders and apostles at Jerusalem. So I think this may have been one of the reasons why there was need to go to Jerusalem to hear what the apostles and the elders say about this teaching. The church at Jerusalem was, of course, the mother church of the church at Antioch. And since the apostles, especially Peter and John, were still there, it was really a good suggestion to go and hear their view about this teaching. That this would probably quiet down the minds of the believers at Antioch and also help to silence these false teachers. So this shows the importance of like-minded churches. Yes, like this, and this is what happens even today when a church has something which it is wrestling with and there's some disagreement. It is good to ask views from another church and hear what they say about the issue. And here at RBC, this is what we have done so many times. We have had many issues which we have failed to resolve by ourselves. And many times we go to our brothers who have gone before us and ask them their view about such issues. And we have found that it is very helpful. So we see that they send Paul and Barnabas and some other members of the church, probably so that these other members will be witnesses to what the apostles and elders will speak concerning the issue. So then we see in verse 3 now that so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. So we see that they do not go straight to Jerusalem, but they decide to visit believers in this region of Phoenicia and Samaria. Yes, since the Great Commission had started from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria,
wow.
So it is possible that there are many believers scattered in this region of Phoenicia and Samaria. So most likely the intention of passing there was to have fellowship with these believers and to also increase their joy, as we see, by telling them again what God had done among the Gentiles. Yes, it is a very joyful thing to hear about a converted soul. As the angels of heaven rejoice, even the believers here on earth rejoice when they hear that a sinner has been converted. Oh, that will continue preaching the gospel again and again, and so that we'll hear this joyful news again and again. But although the believers rejoice after hearing the conversion of a sinner, the person who rejoices most is the sinner himself. That's why I pray that those who are listening to me, who are not converted, they may hear this gospel and believe and turn to Christ. So that they may have this joy unspeakable. Because, my friends, if you remain in your sin till Jesus Christ comes back, then after judgment you'll experience the deepest sorrow. You will not know joy at all. But may the Lord help you who's still in your sins, that you will repent and believe in Christ, so that you will also experience this joy. But it is also very possible that they wanted to see the brethren, to encourage them, and know something about their physical and even spiritual lives. Yes, this is like what happened with us here one time when our brothers from Kenya were going to Burundi. Yes, but they decided that they should pass by and see us and be of encouragement to us. Yeah, this shows care, this shows love for one another. Yes, I wonder how many of us have cared to find out how our brothers are doing, especially in this lockdown. Oh, friends, let brother love continue even in these difficult times. Let us be of encouragement to one another in such difficult times. Call one another and find out how they're doing spiritually and physically, and see how you can come in and help. It will be a very good gesture for you to call your brother or sister and just ask them, how can I pray for you, for example? Oh, let's be caring and loving to one another. In verse 4, we see that they finally come to Jerusalem. That's why we read, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and their apostles and elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. So finally they arrive at Jerusalem. It is not known how long they spent on the way, but we see that they were warmly welcomed by the brethren at Jerusalem. as the church and its leaders warmly welcome them. It's the Apostle Paul in Galatians calls the apostles who were there, Peter and John, as the pillars of the church there. And of course, one of those leaders was also James. And this James was the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's also mentioned as one of the pillars of the church along with Peter and John. And we see that this time the disciples at Jerusalem were not afraid of Paul anymore. Because it seems this time they are fully convinced that he's part of them. Yeah, because the first time he went to Jerusalem, they were afraid of him. They saw him as a persecutor. They couldn't believe that he had been transformed and he was now a believer. But here they welcomed them warmly. And the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, before they even narrate, come to the issue which had brought them, they first try to narrate to the church there about what God had done again among the Gentiles. Because it was very encouraging again for the church at Jerusalem to hear about what God was doing among the Gentiles. Yes, and it is always a good thing for brethren to share with each other what God is doing among them. Yes, that's why even today it is a very good habit for missionaries to share their reports with different churches. Because it is very encouraging and it enables the other churches to join them in praising God for what he had done, in what he does in their midst. But it is interesting that the issue which took them to Jerusalem is not spoken. Before it is spoken by them, the people at Jerusalem raise up, some of the believers at Jerusalem themselves raise it up. That's what we see in verse 5. But some believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. Yes, the Pharisees have been zealous for the law of God, even in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. But many times our Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them just because of their outward observance of the law. But neglected the spirit of the law many times. And here we see that some Pharisees had believed, but they remained with that zeal, unfortunately, with ignorance. And their ignorance made them to think that even these Gentiles, for them to be truly believers, they should be first circumcised. And we see that Paul calls these people false brethren. It may be that they were not truly believers, some of them. And now this sect of the Pharisees, it seems that some of them went to Antioch, the people who were discussing with Paul and Barnabas about that false teaching. It seemed to be a part of this sect of the Pharisees. But let's see in Galatians 2, verse 1 to 5, what Paul talks about, how Paul talks about these people. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5, he is talking about this same journeys in this council of Jerusalem, which we will see down there. We see that then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus. We see that among the other people who joined Paul and Barnabas, Titus was one of them. Then verse 2 says, I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of the false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped into to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they may bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for moments, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So all these discussions and the counsel which will come after this was to preserve the gospel. Yes, this shows how Paul was so zealous for this gospel, and he could not bear to see people who want to distort it. This discussion will go on, and we shall see that next Sunday, God willing. But today there are so many ways in which the gospel is being distorted. Yes, may we also be zealous to preach it, to discuss with such people and tell them what the true gospel is. And most importantly, may the Lord help us that our lives will bear testimony to the true gospel. Yes, next Sunday, God willing, we shall see how the council progressed and went on. And we shall see the resolutions which were taken back to the church at Antioch. May the Lord help us to live a life which is worthy of this gospel. Amen. Lord, we worship you for who you are and for what you have done. You are holy, you are all-powerful and all-knowing. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this day. Thank you for reminding us about this important good news. Oh Lord, help us, that none of us will take it for granted. Have mercy upon those who have not believed the gospel yet, that they will truly believe and turn away from their sins. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the privilege to listen to your word, even virtually, as we have done today, for those who have not been able to come to this place this day. Be with us, Lord. Continue keeping us, continue protecting us, and help us to live lives which will be pleasing in your sight. We thank you and we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So again, it's just an emphasis that You call us, you let us know how you're doing, if you have any challenge, if you need any help from the elders, from the deacons, please feel free to call us at any time, and we'll be able to help as the Lord enables us. Amen.